A very good morning to you, my dear listener. It is a Friday morning. How are you doing at this morning? Yeah, today it's not that cold anymore. So slowly but slowly, it's that cold. How do they call it? That cold weather. Let me just say weather. You know, it's at least getting better and better. All right. Good morning to you and welcome to Eagle FM. And thanks for joining us this morning and for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company this morning. So my name is Mike Oshovedi, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, event and issues that shape our world. So this show, it's all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest developments in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us doing the talking. It's about you. Share your thought, opinion, and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So Friday the 13th of June, 2025. So let's get to our segment of on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa? So On June the 13th, in 1950, the South African Parliament passed the infamous Group Area Acts. So legislating separate residential and business zones for racial groups. So this laid the groundwork for systemic forced removals and deepened the racial segregation under apartheid. So that also happened in Namibia. The same act was also implemented in Namibia. So Nelson Mandela, on June the 13th, in 1964, Nelson Mandela and six other trialists arrived at Robben Island to begin serving life sentence for their anti-apartheid activities. So the Dennis Goldberg, who was white, was sent to Pretoria Central Prison. So this event marked a significant moment in South Africa's struggle against apartheid, symbolizing the state's effort to silence key leaders of the liberation movement. And today, June the 13th, is recognized as International Albinism Awareness Day. And this day is observed across Africa and globally to raise awareness about the challenges faced by people with albinism, including discrimination and violence. So, and also to promote the right and the well-being of people with albinism. So, happy International Albinism Awareness Day to society in Namibia that are promoting the rights and the well-being of people with albinism. So, welcome. If you're just joining us. So today is Friday, June the 13th, and our thought for the day. This is a good one. So Elias' house is on fire, and no one believes him. Elias' house is on fire, and no one believes him. So the Proverbs means that once someone gains a reputation for lying, and be careful. So once one gains a reputation for lying, people will stop trusting them, even in real crisis. Now, if you lie too often, people will never take you seriously, even if you are actually telling the truth in a critical moment. So this proverb serves as a powerful reminder: honesty builds trust. Once that trust is lost, it is incredibly hard, sometimes impossible, actually, to regain that. So our thought for the day: Elijah's house is on fire and no one believes him. So be careful of that you don't become someone people will never take seriously because of you always lying. All right, because people will stop trusting you. And when now, when you are, this has actually happened sometimes. This is something some people that, you know, even when they tell you something serious, people don't pay attention anymore because they used you to be the kind of person who always lies. All right, Elijah's house is on fire and no one believes him. So that's our thought for the day. And I hope that will guide your decisions and things that you do throughout the day today. So welcome and thanks for joining us. So stay tuned.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalighty.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today.
Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you, my dear listeners, and welcome to Unpacking the Day. Today, we dive into a matter that directly affect the health and well-being of every single Namibian, our country's medicine supply, and the people entrusted with its regulations. So the Namibian Nurse Union, or NANU, has recently made a bold and urgent call. They are demanding the immediate dissolution of the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council, accusing it of violating laws, approving unregistered medicines, and endangering lives. So these are not just accusations of mismanagement. They are allegations of actions that could directly compromise the safety of the medicines we use and undermine trust in our healthcare system. So to help us unpack this claim, we are joined today by the Secretary General of NANU, Mr. Junius Shilunga. He is here to shed light on the details behind these allegations and explain why the union is demanding such drastic actions. Good morning, Mr. Shilunga. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yes, good morning, Mike, and good morning to your listeners.
So let's start with this. Why has NANU decided that now is the time actually to take such a strong stance against the Namibian Medicine Regulatory Council?
Thank you very much. Of recent, we have received some grave and alarming revelations that the government, or to say the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council, has allowed unregistered medicine in the supply of pharmaceutical products by companies operating without valid licenses.
Yeah.
So this is a very serious revelation, and it poses a serious danger to the Namibian people.
Mm.
So we decided that this current Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council not able and capable to protect the Namibian citizen. So it's, now is the time to leave, and those who will be found guilty of misconduct or unethical professional behavior, they need to be held accountable.
Yeah. Well, as a stakeholder, NANU, as a stakeholder, so have you taken some steps to address this concern before calling the NMR's dissolution?
Revelations are recent, and they are very serious, and we cannot wait for any longer. Or to wait for some time, because this poses a serious danger to our people.
Yeah.
If you read that statement from Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council about Fabpharm, they indicated that Fabpharm has been operating without a license since January 2024.
Yeah.
So they have been issuing and supplying medicine to the Central Medical Corps, which without a license.
Yeah.
So nobody was able to check and regulate to see if these guys are supplying valid medications or the medications are having issues until it was revealed this month that there is such things that these guys are operating without a license. And their medications are having some defects.
Yeah.
And imagine our people have been consuming those medications since then, but nobody was able to pick it up. So it means this council, this current council, is not able to protect the health and the safety of our people.
Mm. So, mentioning now unregistered medicines being approved, do you have specific example of these drugs and their potential risk?
All these revelations are coming now. That there were also some malaria medications which were being found in the country.
Yeah.
And as citizen of this country and as a stakeholder in this ministry, we are very, because we don't know for how long have these guys have been doing this.
Yeah.
And you know, we represent the nurses, the patients, and the community at large.
Mm.
So we cannot allow our people to go through that serious torture because of some people who are incompetent, who were given responsibility to protect the citizen, but they are incompetent and they are corrupt. They are just thinking about their stomach, and they are not even considerate about the danger that they are causing to this nation. So we are very serious with this call, and we are calling the Minister of Health to immediately dissolve the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council and initiate a full forensic audit of its conduct and operation. And those who be found guilty of wrongdoing must be held accountable without fear or favor.
Yeah. Yeah, from the information, probably or any investigation that you have done of your own, how widespread is the issue of companies without valid license supplying pharmaceutical product, and how did the NMRC allow this to happen?
So we did not conduct any investigation yet. Yeah. As this revelation just came, but our concern is that these are serious revelations.
Yeah,
and that is why I have been saying that there is no time to waste and wait to do investigation when even the council itself indicated that, because I think it was last week they issued a call of medication that were supplied by Fabufarm.
Yeah.
So, and they also indicated that all the liquid pharmaceutical or liquid medication that are coming from Fabufarm, they must be quarantined.
Mm.
And that indicates that there is a serious issue here. So if you are issuing a recall or to quarantine those medications while this person has been supplying you for a whole 17 months without you picking up this defect, what has happened to those people who have taken those defected medications? So there is no time to waste and wait and investigate. The investigation must come after these guys are out of power. And when the investigation is coming out, we have to make sure that these people must be held accountable. Because one thing that we need to understand is that the defected medication might not cause effect immediately.
Yeah.
But these are consumable products that people have consumed.
Yeah.
And they can also have long-term effects.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do to those people who have been taking this medication? And I think it is a high time also as citizens of this country to be able to be given the right to sue directly those people who are involved in those scandals. Because it is very reckless for somebody to allow such unethical behaviors to continue, and just because they want to benefit because they are used to their corrupt and unlawful acts, and nobody holds them accountable. As citizens of this country, we need to be given right to directly sue those individuals.
Yeah, when someone say the Namibia Medicines Regulatory Councils have approved, you know, let's say for example the medicines and things like. What does that really mean? So I'm asking this question given where we are, which we as public seem to think that haven't they know that, or what are they were approving?
So the story seems to be a bit complex because the Namibia Medicine and the related Substance Control Act of 2003. Act 13.
Yeah.
It gave the mandate for the Namibian Medicine Regulatory Council to allow and register the medication that our people need to consume.
Yeah.
So before the medications before the medication entered the country, these guys have to investigate. Are these medications allowed to be consumed by Namibians?
Yeah.
Are they of standard? Are they supplied by a reputable company? That's why, and they also have the port of entry to say these medications that are entering the country, they need just to be to come through this entry point, because this is where we have inspectors, this is where we have machinery to detect the defect in the medication and everything. So if those medication comes without being checked and before the approval, then it becomes, it means they are not registered.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and this is the process that the NMR, the NMRS, NMRs, RCs has failed actually to do, or they somehow just let that slide because of either, well, could be corruption or could be any other things.
Yeah, that is why we have requested a forensic audit to determine whether it was intentional, whether somebody was doing it for their own reasons.
Mm.
So that's why we have requested the Honorable Minister to initiate a forensic audit in this matter. And it must be done immediately. There is no time to waste. And when she's doing it, these people must not be in charge because they can also influence the investigation.
Yeah. So how has this situation affected public trust in Namibia in Namibia healthcare system now, and what is the broader impact on health service delivery?
So you see the public trust in public healthcare system has been low.
Yeah.
You know, the healthcare system of Namibia has been plagued with allegations of corruption, lack of accountability, and disregard for human life. And now that we are getting these revelations again that these guys have been supplying medication from unregistered, I mean, from companies without valid license.
Yeah.
And also allegations that some individuals were trying to bring in medication which are not registered.
Mm.
That because, you know, when you are sick, you are very vulnerable.
Exactly.
And you go to the hospital so that you can get help and you can get healed. And now imagine in your vulnerability, you are hearing that these guys are able to supply with a defective medication, with an unregistered medication. What does that tell you in your mind? Will you still trust these guys to be at your service?
Yeah.
Provide the health care service to you.
Yeah.
And that is why we are saying, we are strongly calling the minister to dissolve, because the public trust is very important.
Yeah.
Because this, with this ministry, we are dealing with human life.
Mm.
And there's no way we can gamble with human lives because of corruption and lack of accountability and incompetence, high level of incompetence within some council and some individuals. So we need to take this thing serious, and we need to rebuild the public trust.
Yeah.
But we can only rebuild the public trust if we put our people into confidence and we come out clear to say, these are the steps that we are taking, and we are going to be serious, and we are going to put measures in place to control these malpractices.
Yeah. And do this revelation affect the day-to-day work of nurses and other healthcare professionals?
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Shilunga, just a second, then we will go quickly for commercial break, and then we'll come back. Eh? Just hold on.
Omutiha with the Kirotaguna, Imatina Omjo. Chicago Shafat and Anana.
Need lightning fast internet? Rogers has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Rogers' cutting edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through a high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, Mr. Shilunga. So, my question was actually, do this revelation also affect the day-to-day work of nurses or other healthcare professionals?
Yes, indeed. This has impacted also the day-to-day work of our nurses. As I have indicated that the liquid medication from Fabufarm are quarantined and they are not being used anymore. And those medications are like paracetamol for kids, that is Panado in our local symbol language,
yeah.
And also those multivalent and others. So it means this nurses who are working now, they are not able to give this oral medication because they are not allowed to be given. And sometimes it becomes a problem. You find that you have to treat a child with a high fever, but these medications, now you cannot use them. And also the confidence that when you are treating somebody and they are there doubting that, are you really giving me the right medication, or you guys are giving us the medications that are not registered. Those perceptions affect our day-to-day work.
Yeah.
And it is really something that needs to be addressed as a matter of agents. The other thing is that we have also requested for the president to initiate and establish an independent presidential commission of inquiry to these activities and affairs management of the Minister of Health. And this commission, we have also indicated that it must be chaired by a senior and independent judge.
Yeah.
And it must include a representation from trade unions, particularly those within the health sector. We want to unearth everything that we want a comprehensive investigation in this ministry, because it's the ministry which is entrusted with the lives of all Namibians.
Yeah.
Be it private citizen or the ordinary citizens, we cannot gamble with people's lives, and it must be the responsibility of every Namibian to defend our vulnerable people that are being taken for a ride by these people,
yeah.
And those to be found guilty of this wrongdoing, they must be brought to book, and they must be made public to say these are the individuals who are trying to gamble with people's lives, and they must go straight to jail, because we don't even know how many people how many lives were lost because of this negligence.
Yeah. So why do you believe a presidential commission of inquiry is necessary, and how should it address the issue within the health ministry?
You know, presidential inquiries to find out everything happening in the ministry, the activities, the affairs, the management, how is the operation in the ministry, because this ministry has been plagued with serious allegations, systemic corruption in this ministry and lack of accountability. But it's the same ministry which I think gets the high budget second to education. But we are still stuck. We are still having shortage of staff in our hospital, shortage of medications. Everything is just upside down.
Yeah.
So we want the ministry, I mean the president, to initiate or establish the presidential commission of inquiry. We had one, I think, during the former president, His Excellency Hifikepunye Pohamba. I think it was done 2012. But and it was chaired by the late Justice Mutambanengwe, may so rest in peace.
Yeah.
So, but that the findings of that inquiry were not made public, even though they were tabled by to cabinet. They were never made public to the Namibians.
Yeah.
So we want the president also to put our people into confidence. She must establish that independent presidential commission, and the outcome of that commission, it must be made public so that we see where are we going wrong, what is happening in this ministry, where do we need to make some improvement. Because it doesn't make economical sense every time the budget is out, but there's no change. Look at in our hospitals that we have. All these hospitals, big hospitals that we have, we inherited them from the apartheid government.
Yeah.
But there's no expansion taking place. We are still stuck. But our population is growing.
Yeah.
And the diseases are also becoming a lot different. Diseases are coming up, but we are still having those old structures. And also the staff establishment within the ministry is still that old staff establishment that was there after independence. And now with this population, you will find out that even the nurses themselves, they will not be able to keep up to take care of all the patients that are coming, because the nurses are understaffed, and they are overworked, because there is a growing population, but there is no improvement to improve the staff capacity within our hospital.
Yeah, in terms of overall accountability, who, in your opinion, should be held accountable for the alleged negligence? Negligence and violation of the violation at the Namibia Medicines Regulatory Council. Who should be held accountable?
Until the investigation is conducted,
we
can say the whole council is accountable.
Yeah.
Until we go into the details of who failed where, how, but the whole council must go for now until the forensic investigation is conducted. So we cannot pinpoint to say, no, it's the chairperson, it's this one, without us conducting that investigation. And that is why we are saying this council must be dissolved. We must establish even an ad hoc council.
Yeah.
Can work on an interim while the investigation is being conducted.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier a culture of corruption and impunity within the healthcare system. What deep reforms does NANU believes are necessary beyond addressing the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council?
So all what we are calling for is that, the appointing authority. The appointing authority must take competent people. They must stop those things of taking their comrades. So we want competent people in those positions.
Yeah.
We want people who are able to represent the interest of Namibians. We want the people who are not gambling.
Yeah.
Who are not ready to gamble with people's lives. We want accountable people. So it is not for us to determine, to appoint, to say, to suggest you must appoint who and who. We have reputable people in Namibia.
Yeah.
Who are capable and able to handle issues. That's why we some people, when those corrupt activities started coming up while they are serving, they resign because they don't want to associate themselves with such corrupt activities. So we want such people to be in the position of power.
Yeah.
So that we'll be able to have even to build back this public confidence.
So have you received any response from the Ministry of Health or the President or the presidency regarding your demands?
No, we did not receive anything yet, and the issue was just raised yesterday.
Mm.
So we are still waiting if they can respond. If they are not willing to respond, we can't force them. But all we are advising them is that there is an eroded public confidence in our healthcare system.
Yeah.
And we are speaking from the ground. We know what is happening. We are on the ground. Our people are giving us information to say this is what is happening. And you guys also in the media have seen.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people just go to the hospital, they start taking video, but that thing was not there. People respected the hospital environment.
Mm.
You can't just enter emergency department, you are taking videos and accusing nurses of. It's because there's no confidence in the system anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone, even if I'm online, a person just come and see me eating kapana while I'm in my uniform, while I'm on my lunch.
Yeah.
Because they are just saying these guys must just be working. They are not doing anything. It's their confidence which has been eroded by this incident, and we need to build back, and so that our people can start also trusting us, and also because it's also difficult for you to get healed when you don't trust what you are getting.
Mm.
Because the healing process, sometimes you need also to believe that yes, I'm treated, and I'm going home and I'm going to heal. But if you are having those doubts that these guys maybe they give me a wrong medication, maybe they are expired, I just go there for the sake of going. But we don't want our people to feel like that.
Yeah.
We want our public healthcare system to be the best compared to any other. And even those who go to private can even change their mind to say there's a well-managed public healthcare in Namibia. So it's better I go there for my health
treatment. Mm. So if key stakeholders resist your demands, how will NANU escalate its advocacy efforts?
My brother, we for us it's a labor movement is to highlight and to demand for accountability and make sure that all the systems of government are well regulated, and also to make sure that our members are not being taken as scapegoat by the failure of the system.
Mm.
So we'll keep on pushing. Those who are willing to listen to us can listen. Those who are stubborn and arrogant and are not willing and they are not considerate to the well-being of Namibians, there's nothing we can do. We can't go and pull out the minister from the office. We can't go to the president and make noise. But all we are advocating for is a proper and well-managed healthcare system. We want our people to get the best service available. We want our nurses, when they are on the front line, they are not overworked and burned out.
Mm.
We want everything to work smoothly within this system.
Yeah. So, well, let's take the worst scenario. looking ahead now, what are the risks if no decisive action is taken on these allegations?
No, the risks are clear. We are talking about consumable products. We are talking about people who are at the helm of protecting the lives of Namibians. People who are given the mandate to make sure that Namibians are not consuming poison. If no decision is taken, you can judge by yourself already.
Yeah.
So it's not a by the way situation. It's a situation that needs immediate response and attention.
Yeah. All right. So what would you say to those who may dismiss this allegation as exaggerated or politically motivated. That sort of kind of reasoning.
You know, everyone in Namibia is a democratic country. Everyone has the right to say anything. But all what we are saying is that we must not allow our opinions and our politics to blindfold us.
Yeah.
This is a serious issue, and in fact, we don't even need to politicize it. And it will be wrong, very wrong, if we are checking who brought it on the spotlight.
Mm.
From which political party is this person affiliated? So it's not about politics. Let's leave politics for now, but let's try to defend and make sure that our lives, the lives of Namibians, is protected. And any single person who is going to be found violating this, whether you are from this political party or whatsoever,
yeah,
you must make sure that let's not gamble with people's lives. Let's make sure that these people are brought to book. And for some of us, we don't get involved in politics. We look at issues as they are,
yeah,
whether it's coming from the ruling party, whether it's coming from the opposition, whether it's coming from even from out of the country. We for us, is the well-being of the Namibian. We don't want people to lose life. We don't want people to be deformed after 10 years because they have consumed poison, yeah, at a young age.
Yeah. And maybe finally, what message would you like to send to the Minister of Health, the President, and, well, the Namibian public about this issue?
So we made our demands clear, and our demands remain that the minister must immediately dissolve the board. He must initiate the investigation,
yeah,
and those to be found on the side of the wrong, they must be held accountable. And also the president, that is the message we have to the president, that he must initiate a commission of inquiry, and the unions must also be involved in the inquiry, because the last inquiry, it was just having three members only, the chairperson and two additional members. So we want the inquiry to be inclusive, so that we cannot cast any doubts. And that independent commission of inquiry, there must be a senior and independent judge to chair it. So, to the Namibian nation, we will be there to fight for the well-being of everyone, be it our members, our patients, and the community at large. We are not going to fold our hands when things are degenerating. We are a key stakeholder in the Ministry of Health and the government, and so we have to make sure that the lives of our people is not in danger.
All right. So, Mr. Shilunga, thanks for shedding light on the details behind the Nanu's allegations and also explaining why the union is actually demanding such a drastic actions. And thanks for making time to talk to our listeners here on Eagle FM.
Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. That was Mr. Shilunga, Mr. Eunice Shilunga, the General Secretary of NANU, shedding lights on the allegations. And also, as he said, the evidence or the revelations on the about the medicine, Namibia Medicines Regulatory Councils. So, and also explaining why the union is demanding such a drastic action of dissolving the council the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council to be dissolved. All right, so that was our discussion with Mr. Junior Shilunga. So do please come through if you want to react to our discussion. So our telephone number is 08333 66091, 08333 66091. So you're most welcome now to come through and have your opinion or your contribution on the discussions we just had.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are the Elsie Nehangano, the Osherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simane Kakarunga, the Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-238-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
A very good morning to you. If you are just joining us, it's 22 minutes past the hour of 8. I was just having a discussion with Mr. Junius Shilunga, the General Secretary of NANU, the Nurses, Namibia Nurses Union. Yeah, we're basically looking at the allegations and the allegations of the accusation of action that actually could directly compromise the safety of the medicines, the medicine that we use and also determine the trust in our healthcare system. So yeah. So now, recently, then the Namibia Nurse Union has made that bold and urgent call that they are demanding the immediate dissolution of the Namibia Medicine Regulation Councils, accusing them, and because of a revelation that has just come out, so accusing them of violating the laws and approving unregistered medicines and also endangering lives. Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike, morning, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself, man?
I'm okay, just the wind a bit is drying. Tell me, Mike, when are you guys going to fix this story? Radios are all off here still. The app also is not working.
Really, it's not working today?
Yeah, I'm trying it. I've been trying it. I can't hear anything, so I decided to just call. Just to let you know, the app is still maybe having issues or what.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah, no. Just hold on. Just hold on. No. I'm not saying hold on now because I'm going to do something. I'm just you
oh,
know.
Okay. We,
I think something has been done. So let's just hope it comes sooner. So, yeah.
No problem. But if I can add, I want to add, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want to add about the HPV vaccine for the
girls. Well, I just have actually maybe just a brief introduction if you're not listening. So, I was just talking to Junius Shilunga, the Secretary General of NANU, of the Namibian Nurses Union, because this is the, the union that is actually demanding an immediate dissolution of the Namibia Medicine Regulatory Council, accusing them, you know, of approving unregistered medicines and also violating the laws and also endangering lives of Namibians. So basically, yeah, we are more or less in the same line. If maybe something that you want to add on,
I also agree. The Namibia Regulatory Medicine Council should be definitely disbanded, because it's more of a one man show, one individual who is bullying others and trying to follow only his own way.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know why he doesn't go and do it in Germany, but never mind. Why he does it here.
Yeah.
But I would say the reason that I called was, I called because, I don't even know if he's still there actually. But anyway, I called because of the HPV that they want to roll out. Do you know the controversy behind the HPV vaccine in India?
Yeah.
They had done this trial for 30,000 girls, and then later on the people ended up in court because some of the girls died. I don't know what number it was, but there was a court case attached to the vaccine. And then there was a thing of, no, there's no causal link, blah, 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 blah. Just like coronavirus, right? When people were talking about the VAERS program, you know, that was supposed to be there, but didn't actually work. Now they are back again with a new virus. But here's the thing that I want to ask. I don't understand. Cancer, as I understand it, or as it has been put out, is something that happens because of a genetic anomaly, like a genetic mutation that happened, right?
Yeah.
DNA. Okay. So what has a virus got to do with your DNA? Are they saying that the virus goes in and changes your DNA, causes your cells to mutate, and then you get cancer? Or what are they saying? And even if that is the case, and the virus could do that, which I don't think it can. What then? How do they stop it?
Yeah.
How do you stop? Because this is how immunization was taught to us and how we understood it all these years. Immunization was basically they would take, for instance, it's a cold flu or cold virus, right?
Mm.
And then they would take it, and they would apparently take it in its weakened form. I don't know what that means. Weakened form. Anyway, they take the weakened form of it, and your body would see it, recognize it, and say, this thing is a dangerous thing. Next time I see it, I'm going to raise the alarm much, much quicker. And here is the antibody needed to destroy this thing. So your body has now got information.
Immunization is actually to just increase the amount of your body, antibodies.
No, the antibodies, you see, when there's a new disease, your body doesn't know the disease. It has to recognize this thing as a disease and then build an antibody.
Yeah, when it's new. Yeah. When it's new, it doesn't recognize it. It takes time. It will recognize it eventually, but it takes actually time to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why they said, we will now give you this weakened, quote unquote, weakened form of this thing, so that your body has time to learn its enemy and to build the weapons against its enemy, right?
So it's kind of we give you some kind of a fake.
Okay. Now my question is this.
Yeah.
My question is this, right? How does it do that for a cancer? How does it do it for a cancer, and specifically, gamma? Only for cervical cancer? Or is it for all cancers? How is it so specific, number one? Number two, how does it do that for a cancer? Because a cancer is genetic, it's a DNA issue, right? It's a mutation that was not supposed to have happened. Those are the things that we've been told all along. So how did it come? How is it possible that it can protect, or it can teach your body to fight this? Tell me that.
Yeah.
Is it enough for antibodies to be used? So I don't think it's a good idea, because of my experience or our collective experience with coronavirus.
Yeah.
I don't know if there are still people out there who are vaccinating their children, their babies, and so on. I think all of us should be awake by now. Corona taught us a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
Where are the reports? How successful were the vaccines? Were they successful or not? Did you hear any report after certain, after they achieved their 80% vaccination rate or 50%, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Did you hear any reports? Because they said it's a new experimental thing and we're going to allow it. So, okay, so where's feedback? Why is there no feedback?
Mm.
You see, now you come on HPV again. Not me, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted. So I think NMR should be disbanded. It's very, very, that's a very good point because, it's useless. And also all it does is it prevents. I remember that I brought in a certain cream.
Yeah.
From, it's a natural product.
Mm.
I brought it in from Australia, and they destroyed my cream, but I brought it in for my daughter.
Yeah.
Because why? The cream is supposed, I mean, I was not going to sell it or anything. It was just for my daughter and my wife, and they destroyed it because the cream is a progesterone cream. So
yeah.
There's something called phytoprogesterone. It's, progesterone is one of the hormones that women have. It's the happy hormone for women.
Yeah.
And it helps to benefit because in our society, in the foods that we eat, the water we drink, the medicines we take, there is something called estrogen. So there's a lot of estrogen dominance we are being flooded with estrogen, and that is causing a lot of hormonal imbalance. You get girls of 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old starting their menstrual cycles. But
yeah.
that is very much that's very much a bad thing and also an unusual thing. It's not natural. What is natural is women used to get their menstrual cycles by 18, 21, let's say about 50, 60 years ago, right? That's when they started getting this. Now you're getting girls who are getting something called pronaceous puberty. Pronaceous puberty is when you are getting into puberty way too much and
really?
Way too early,
yeah.
And you are actually having a hormone imbalance, meaning the person is still a baby in the mind, but the body is running way, way ahead of them.
Exactly.
So this NMR, they destroyed, so I have a bone to pick with them still. They destroyed my thing and they couldn't give me a reason. Yeah, it must be registered. Registered by who? You're even from Ethiopia. When are you going back anyway? There's a guy, he's the one I was talking to. I don't know when is he going to go back to Ethiopia, but he's destroyed my stuff.
Yeah.
So I have a big bone to pick with them. I think they should be disbanded, yes.
Yeah.
And natural medications should not be regulated because they are natural.
Mm.
It's the same as saying, you know, that when you go in the bush, there's a certain stick that we use for toothbrush.
Yeah. Yeah.
We shouldn't do that. Why? We shouldn't have hudia or kamagu. I don't know what you call kamagu now. Devil's claw, what they call devil's claw.
Yeah, devil's claw, yeah.
They are always trying to bring the devil into the things. But it's not the devil's thing. It is a natural thing that came from God.
Yeah.
And they, all of those things, they will try to regulate those. When those things are not having side effects or known or are not known to have any side effects, but the things that are called medicine must have a side effect. By definition, if it doesn't have a side effect, it's probably not a medicine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I am totally against this HPV, and I would warn other people also to be careful. I'm not saying don't take it. It's your choice.
Yeah.
But just be informed. Informed consent is a thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that
the biggest,
all right. So thanks for coming through.
What are you saying? The biggest one?
No. The biggest, concern I have, with this kind of revelations, it's actually determine, trust in our healthcare system, you know, where you have now people think, you know, what does it help? You know, if I go to the hospitals, what I'm going to give them is this. Oh, I'm not going to get help that I need. Or I might give in, you know, when you're given those medication, you don't believe in it. So you don't have trust that it's going to work. And medicine has to work with trust, you know.
Exactly.
If that becomes an issue for the public, we will have really a big problem because people may not go, people may not ever even go to the hospitals because they don't trust in the service.
Exactly. I don't even know why these people, there are people who really trust in doctors a lot.
they really, really trust with all their heart.
Yeah.
But I would say rather trust in God. Trust God. Don't trust your doctor. Your doctor is a human being. He can make a mistake. Your doctor has certain biases that he is going to follow. There's something called Codex Alimentarius. Look it up.
Yeah.
And that is also a governing document that is causing. That's why your medical aid will not pay for your for your vitamin, for your vitamins C or anything, but they'll pay for a medication that has got 200 side effects.
Yeah.
You know, so why are you not paying for vitamins? They want to fight diseases. Apparently, they don't want to strengthen bodies. They want to fight.
Yeah.
Your body is an intelligent. This is what Hippocrates, you know Hippocrates, the Hippocratic Oath?
Yeah.
You know
yeah,
that guy?
Yeah.
That guy, his philosophy was, although he was a pagan and a heathen and a Greek, he said, the body is intelligent, God made it intelligent, we must get step out of the way and allow it to heal itself. All we need to do is, and provide it with the tools. So
yeah.
That's where this whole thing of first do no harm, right? I don't even know if they still take that oath, but that's where it comes from. So there are many different types of natural doctors that you can go to. Okay, not witch doctors, but natural doctors.
Yeah.
Natural doctors are people who work with plants and animals and funguses to do what? To naturally heal you. Not for them to come there with something they think they are all knowing.
Yeah, I mean, every medicine, every drugs you use is come from some herbs or, you know, from natural things. Yeah.
That's not true. There are a lot of the medications that you get at the pharmacy, they come from oil. They come from crude oil.
Yeah, some.
So yeah, what they do is they will look at a natural thing and then they will mimic it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? They will mimic it in the lab by the base stock when they're mimicking it is crude oil. So I'm saying hydrocarbons. It's not specifically crude oil, but I mean hydrocarbon. It's some hydrocarbon or another. They might take benzene and do something with it, and then it will become phenylene, or it might become aniline.
Well, I mean, the original regiment. You know?
Yeah, they will look at the original ones, but for it to be a medic, for them to make a profit, for pharmaceutical companies to make a profit, most of the time they will take it from a hydrocarbon. Mm. So you take, and hydrocarbons come from dead things. Where did you ever see life come from death?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Ben. Thanks for coming through.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Bye. Right.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 38 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're just joining us, this is Unpacking the Day. I'm Michael Chiavelli, and I will be with you until 9:30. So we were having a discussion with Mr. Junius Shilunga, the General Secretary of NANU, Namibian Nurses Union, looking at the what they do, as that we were normally looking at what their demand of immediate dissolution of the Namibia Medicines Regulatory Council, because of they are accusing the council of violating the laws and also approving unregistered medicines, and as a consequence, you know, endangering lives. So, yeah, so the allegations, could directly, compromise, the safety, of the medicines we use, and also the undermines also, as I said, the trust, of our healthcare system. So, yeah, so, if you would like to contribute and also share or react, if you are listening to our discussion, so please do come through and then have your say, have your opinion on what we have discussed so far. So, or overall your understanding of what is going on. So our telephone number 08333-66091. 08333-66091 is the number to call, to air your opinion and your perspective on this matter.
Omutiha gutekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasana nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hita tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, and I grew up in Oshakati. A very good morning to you. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for making us your choice this morning. And we are very, 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 very happy to be in your company this morning. So, well, if you would like to engage us on our first item that we brought you, you're most welcome to do so. And our telephone number is 0833-66091. You can come through and share your opinion, your perspective, or your reaction to our story, or your overall contribution to the story and to the discussion that we have. So we go on. We can't stay still. We need to move on scan 4 and 2. All right, we go forward. All right. So now, Namibia has, how would I put this? We're looking at this is a story. Okay. Let me look at this first. I want us to delve into the Ministry of Finance, statement and announcement, which addressing the government's effort to manage the budget and addresses economic challenges. Including physical consolidation. So what we're looking at is the Namibia ministry recently announced the Minister of Finance recently announced a major change in how it borrows money. So it's like a new Namibia's new debt strategy. Okay. Now, the new debt strategy is actually shifting now from international to local loans. So, and that's what we're going to look at much from that report, the Fitch rating report on Namibia, and also what actually the ministry, the Minister of Finance have said, or what are their priorities and where, why they are shifting from international investors from international lenders to local loans. So now, as I said recently, the ministry announced a major change in how it borrows money, instead of actually leaning heavily on foreign lenders. Namibia now plans to fund 80% of its borrowing from domestic sources, and only 20% from abroad. So if you put that in simple terms, that means that the government will get four out of $5 it needs now. From right here at home, from our banks, from pension funds or whatever, or et cetera, et cetera. So and just $1, yeah, and just $1 from international markets. So that's when we talk, when we talk about now planning to fund to now plans to fund 80% of its borrowing from domestic sources, and only about 20% from abroad. I think that's a good idea. So as I said, if I can give you in a simple terms that we, the government will get like $4 out of $5 in it need, whatever it needs from, right here from home, and also maybe just $1 from international markets. Yeah. So why the change? So the ministry says this help avoid the ups and downs of volatile international markets. So like a sudden swings in exchange rates, global interest rates, that can make foreign loans riskier. So when you have those sudden swings, whether in exchange rates or global interest rates, so that make foreign loan a bit risk compared to local one. And any remaining foreign debt Namibia carries is largely denominated in South African rand to dodge currency shocks as well. So what does it all this mean? And why should you know, as an individual, why should we care about that? So maybe let's break it down and see. First think of domestic borrowing as taking a loan from your next door neighbor. Okay, so. So the local banks, the investors locally, and now just think about that now versus borrowing from someone far away overseas. So you're borrowing you're just taking a loan from your next door neighbors in comparison to borrowing from someone far away. So now by borrowing at home, this is what the ministry is saying. Or maybe this is now the strategy. So by borrowing at home, Namibia keeps interest payment inside our economy. And then also avoid those nasty surprises if global market actually gets shaky and sometimes you have those, geopolitical tensions and things like that. So yeah. So the interest payment is inside our economy, and you also avoid those nasty surprises from global market. Yeah. So the finance minister even pointed out that paying interest to local investors could help our economy grow instead of actually sending money out of the country. So that's why this strategy. So another big piece of the puzzle is the euro bond. Namibia has a large international bond, a 750 million euro bond. That's US dollars, and coming due in October 2025. So over the past years, the government has been putting money into a sinking fund. All right, a sinking fund to prepare for that repayment. So, and this year plan to borrow more domestically. You know, now the whole idea of borrowing more domestically, it's partly aimed at topping up that fund. So that's partly aimed to actually topping up that fund. In other words, the government wants to collect a lot of money from local investors now and save it so that it can pay off the Eurobond when it matures, which is going to mature in October 2025. So, now according to analysts, according to analysts, about 500 million US dollar will come from that sinking fund. So it will come from that sinking fund with the rest of financed through a mix of sources. So the ministry, by doing this, Namibia now hope to alleviate future pressures of foreign debt and then reduce reliance on unpredictable international capital. So that's the approach the minister is taking. So now how much borrowing are we talking about here now? So now for 2025-2026 budget year, Namibia planned to borrow about 17.3 billion domestically. So they plan to borrow about 17.3 billion domestically, and that's a big jump from before. Well, that's really a clear sign that the government is stepping into local lenders very, very, very hard. So now, all this adds up. When all this adds up, a total national debt is now around 172 billion and about 62% of GDP. So for context, it was roughly 66 of GDP last year. So, yeah. Now, the economists say a debt level of 60% of GDP is on the higher side. So it's on the higher side, but could be manageable if the economy grows. So even credit agency note, it is higher than average for similar countries as well. So why has Namibia's debt swelled so much, grew up so much? And the government actually lists several reasons. The minister lists several reasons. One is because we have investing in roads, in energy, in education, in water and healthcare. So it's a big infrastructure project. So all this require large upfront spending that often need loan money. So those are some of the reasons why the debts have, you know, gone up. So the other reason was also the social spending and also COVID relief. So the whole, you know, keeping people safe with social programs cost money, of course, and especially after the COVID-19 pandemic. So the budget covered extra healthcare, unemployment help, when people started to lose employment and other support during the pandemic. So that also, you know, saw why Namibia debt actually just, you know, went up. So the other reason is also the global shocks and price swings, you know. So event beyond our control, like the COVID-19 pandemic, big swings in commodity prices. When that happens, it's not in your control. Think of fuel, metals, etc. Or what I said earlier, the geopolitical crisis, you know, for example, disruption from the Russia-Ukraine war, and have hurt our revenues and also force extra spendings. When export earnings fall or we have to import more expensive goods, we borrow to fill those gaps. So, yeah, those are some of the reasons the ministry has given to indicate why our our debt gone up. So now, despite the rising debt numbers, the government says it won't just slash spending everywhere. So because that could hurt the essential service. So instead, what the ministry will do, the officials emphasize efficiency and smarter budgeting. So the finance minister made it clear they won't make drastic cuts that hurt society, especially since most spending goes to social programs. So the focus is on physical consolidation. physical consolidation, that's a fancy way of just saying tightening the belt, you know. And this means eliminating, which the minister has spoken, eliminating waste, scaling back the non-essential project, and making tax collection more effective. So, yeah, in the short term, they will look for saving, but cutting inefficiency and optimizing revenue. I think that's the idea, so that spending, it doesn't spiral out of control. So, yeah, the goal is to keep public finance sustainable in the long run, according to the minister. And for example, reports say that the government plans to run a primary budget surplus. A revenue above non-interest spending over the next few years, okay, which would help lower the debt ratio from 66 towards about 61 of the GDP by 2027 and 2028. So there are also reform to our own state companies. The government introduced an ownership policy. So that ownership policy is moving many commercial public enterprises back into direct ministry oversight. So, now we're talking about NASFAF into the Ministry of Education. So, what did we have also? So the idea is to cut duplicate functions and big overheads. So that's the idea. And for instance, instead of having a separate, let's say, for example, separate boards and bosses, you know, running this, state owned companies. So ministries can run them directly. So, and this should reduce now cost and also improve policy coordinations. So in short, they hope this reform will trim the budget by making now state firms more efficient and accountable. So you have also now the expert that you're most welcome to come through. As I said earlier on, so we have covered an earlier item already, an earlier story where we have an interview with the nurses, Namibia Nurses Union, NANU, Secretary General, Mr. Junior Shilunga. So, if you are listening to that, do please come through and have your reaction on our discussions. Our telephone number is 08-0833-66-091, 08-0833-66-091, or if there is something that we're looking at, and we're looking at the new strategies the Minister of Finance is adopting by borrowing more domestically rather than focusing more on international market. Yeah, so if anything that you're picking up or that you want to contribute as well, maybe you're a finance person or economic person and you want to contribute to that, we're just responding to the report And if you want to, you know, if you, as I said, do inform and shed light, on this topic, you must welcome it. You are most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 083-366-091. All right. So talking of you, coming through and also maybe have your say. Now, what do experts say? We have had government game plan. So what is their game plan? We have heard that. What about the independent analyst? So, some worry about how much we pay, just to service the debt. And, one economist pointed out that huge sums of money are going to interest payments. Now, he suggests that the country must focus on growing the economy faster, cutting wasteful spending, and that's, I think that should be a priority, really, and find a system, actually, or a way to make sure that, because much of the money actually is wasted, sometimes in things that are not a priority, and boosting revenue collections that, which actually, you know, NAMRA, so far doing actually a good job. And, in other words, if the pie grows, you know, the same debt is easier to manage. You know, if it doesn't, and then you get into trouble. Yeah. So another expert made a technical, but important point, watching the debt to GDP ratio. He say alone, that can be misleading. So he said it can be misleading. If that percentage falls, because GDP grows or debt is partially paid, so it might actually sounds good, but it doesn't automatically mean that the country's finance are easier now. They're easing. So if the total debt amount is still higher, the interest payment remain large. So, for example, Namibia paid $8.2 billion in interest to that US $750 million euro bond already. So even if our GDP grows and the debt pay GDP falls a bit, what he says that the government still has to fund. Still have to find $8 billion plus for those interest bills. So the key issue, the analyst saying is that the actual debt service cost, the cash going out every year to lenders, which stays, heavy as long as the debt is higher. So, yeah. So that's what he said. Well, don't be actually just, you know, that could be misleading. The debt to GDP ratio can be misleading. So he kind of like, yeah, is the actually debt services cost. So the cash going every year to lenders. That's which if it stays heavy, so it doesn't make any difference. All right, So let's bring this back to everyday life. So let's think about this. If the government borrows more from local banks, all right, and investors, so it can have also ripple effect. What would that be ripple effect on the plus side? Those interest payment on the government bond stays in Namibia. So we have seen they stays in Namibia. So local companies and pension funds and that interest, which could then be reinvested in our economy. So yeah, that's a plus, on the plus side. It's like keeping the money. It's like keeping the money in the neighborhood. Okay. So in fact, that 8.2 billion interest on the Eurobond, So if you think of that, it went actually to foreign creditors. So our government say if we had borrowed domestically instead, if we have borrowed domestically instead, our own investors would have actually gotten that money. So potentially boosting also local projects. So, yeah. Let's get to one who is actually knocking on my door. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning. How are you, my brother?
I'm all right, man. How is the morning?
The morning is all right, man. It's Friday all.
Yeah, it's Friday. The weather is also changing a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, man. When I get into the radio, I find you talking to anonymous.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are talking a lot of things, but I don't know now if you are talking about the blowing external or internal. Because now.
Yeah, no, there were two things. I mean, earlier on, I covered, an interview with Julius Shilunga. That has to do with the allegations of the medical, Namibia medical, regulatory council. For approving unlicensed,
medications
and all that. Yeah. So it was basically on that. And looking at the implications of that and discussing about what are the risks in terms of health. Yeah. So that's the first part, I think. And then that's what basically was actually commenting on. Also talking about the medications. Yeah. So, and then the second part is what I'm actually busy also, talking about now. The government have change the strategy where it focus more borrowing more from local domestic investors or lenders as to compare to the international market. So they want 80% should come from domestic investors or lenders rather than actually foreign. So and giving probably reasons why they want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I think it's good that at least they are focusing on borrowing in Ghana.
Yeah.
Yeah, but exactly, again, if you're checking the news, we already get borrowed by the Germany, what? I think it's 1 billion point something.
The?
From Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are getting something alone again from Germany. And I don't know why we're getting loan from Germany without even negotiate, we come to the table to negotiate about our genocide. Because I think
you're not borrowing from the government, you're borrowing from private institutions, you know.
Yeah.
So which has nothing to do with your genocide and all that. Yeah.
But for me, I think it was better for us to go ahead with the genocide negotiation.
Yeah.
To conclude in the news. Because now, just imagine, this is kind of like, it's a favor. They are like giving us a favor. At the end of the day, again, they owe us.
I think it's a misrepresentation because you here it's more business. You go to creditors and to investors to borrow that monies or lenders, whatever you may call them. So, yeah, it's not really the government. It is.
But it's not going to end the negotiation process. Because remember one thing that you have to take renewing now that you are having all the money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the court also have to decide like, okay, can we take any of the sense that you owe them? This amount of money, you see, it's going to end to interrupt the court proceeding. Quickly, let me start with the medical. Yeah, you know, Neil, the thing for me, I think for them to go for, the common which we're having, the one we are saying the medicine is not fit for the kid.
Yeah.
And so on, what. For me, they are easily to block those and to remove their medicine from the cell of the shop. because it's a Namibian company.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, go to Chinatown. Who is controlling this, what we are applying today?
Yeah.
Court, tsunami, you name it. There are so many.
Yeah, but the big issue here, ne?
Yeah.
It's if this was not revealed, if Job Ampanda was not actually bringing up that issue, if it was not revealed, this revelation was not actually made outside of them, even the ministry itself.
Yeah.
You know, we, how would you know? You actually have a company that is not, the first of all, that unregistered, and you approve actually to produce medicine.
Then approve it, things to go ahead.
And how do you know from 10 years from now, this?
What the kids, development, what is going to affect our kids?
Yeah, this medicine would affect the populations. You know,
exactly.
It's a really, I understand the union, how they take this seriously, and they want to take that dramatic, drastic, action to dissolve, to actually to just dissolution or dissolve the whole council. I really understand that, because this is really, you are playing with people's life.
You know? No, they don't need to be so dissolved. They need to be fired.
Yeah.
Because remember, somebody have to be taken. Accountability.
And the Minister of Health. And the Minister of Health.
And the Minister, exactly, to approve it. Because now, remember one thing. And what I'm telling you, Namibia, people are playing with life. When it comes to this public hospital, they're in the same also with what, when it comes to public school. Mm. They are not serious. Because up to now, my friend, man, things need to be supposed to be changed.
Yeah.
For the better. Because sometimes, some of us, we even better not to take my kid to hospital, then to consult the doctor. You know what we do, like with our cars.
Mm.
Instead for me to go to open door, to go to the dinner party is expensive.
Yeah.
I got the required, and they gave me a quotation. Then I talked to my brother who's doing it under the tree.
Yeah.
Then you save up money in that process. But seriously, I'm telling you, it's what we do with the hospital now.
Yeah.
You go to for private doctor, they talk a certain, then I will come back. Then go and buy your medicine in the pharmacy.
Yeah. I think
it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah.
Because we don't trust we don't trust our public hospital. Mm. And it's what is happening now.
Exactly. And that's the biggest concern. And sometimes when the public start to, their trust of the public, of the healthcare system start to erode, then it becomes a big problem. Because people who will be sick, they would prefer actually being sick at home and
exactly,
find a way to treat themselves rather than going to the hospital, because they know even if you go, the medicines that you are given are not
They even make it more worse than you are.
Exactly. you will be in line from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Mm. You come back without seeing a doctor. You know,
they'll tell you to go tomorrow again.
You see, it create that perception, and also then it's gonna be really, really, really create also a dangerous environment within the health sectors as well.
It's what I'm telling you, for you to restore the trust in people.
Yeah.
You need to start firing. That's the only way. Because if you are like shifting people and day and day, it's not going to resolve anything. And if you look even the newspaper today, my friend, the way these guys, they are claiming their SNT, Namibia Tourism Board.
Yeah.
My friend, man. People are driving just for 6 months already. Then they already 2.something million.
You see?
You can see that here in Namibia, there are people, money is wasted.
Yeah.
In unnecessary thing. Because now we are talking about this.
We have a quick commercial, and then you can come back, yeah.
Okay, I will.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
Get social with.
All right. Yeah. So you can go on. Yeah.
Yeah. What I was saying, money's been wasted for nothing. Yeah. Just made the 2 point something is already gone for people taking trips.
Mm.
Yeah. And then they get the allowance of between 300 to 600. Just made it.
Yeah. And actually, and when the minister, I was talking about the new strategy that the ministry actually trying to implement. Is physical consolidation is exactly one of the biggest concern. It's waste of money, you know.
Yeah, very much. Because now, just imagine wasting money like that, and you have a candle where other people are crying even for water.
Yeah,
and you have a public hospital without a what? A passport, what do you call it? Health passport. Mm. Where you are, they will tell you go and buy the books. And they forget about your history now. Because it is, remember, some people have a chronic disease. We are talking about high blood pressure, diabetes, and you name it. Just imagine now, if I'm going to buy these new books, and you forget, you don't know more about my history now.
Yeah.
How you are going to be affected? Treat me. If you don't know about me, my history. That's the problem I think we have in the hospital. And that's what I'm telling you, that come in Namibia, we are wasting too much money, unnecessary stuff. Instead of focusing to unemployment, housing issue, health, education, our priority is not there. And it's what most of us, we are scared that when we leave this country and we leave it to our kids, how are they going to survive if things are falling apart already like this?
Yeah. I think our natural instinct now, it's actually looking for where do I get something to feed myself.
That is dangerous.
Yeah. So we are in that mode now. We are in that mode because we are really, the poverty is quite higher. Unemployment is higher. Everybody now is looking where we are in that mode of where do I get something, you know, just to go.
Just as long as I got hold it of that office.
Yeah.
I would let it go without me to make myself rich.
So
that is dangerous ground we are establishing. And what is happening?
Yeah. No, that's in the mode we are now, you know. So everybody who goes into a position where have access to resources, they are more likely actually to abuse it, you know, because of the situation, lack of resources, and many people want to get on the table. And what do? You make sure that you are on the table. You make use of that, you know?
Man. This is too dangerous now. Because now, remember one thing, that you don't build a candy like that.
No, definitely not. It becomes a habit for the country. It's kind of like, it's something that we kind of like get into that circle, you know, we kind of like, okay, when would I get that position to be able to, you know, to enrich myself? We may not think that consciously. I mean, but you know, that becomes the way of how we operate as a country, you know.
But what I'm thinking of is that when it comes to public servant, I think they need more education to have that moral, to have the dignity of the country, because some of them, they just don't care. We're in that method of don't care anymore. As long as me, I eat, and my family, and my close family.
Yeah.
And what we've been happening, remember the other time when I was complaining about it, I said, no, guys, we can't just be paying every day. We are paying membership. Now it's also in the news today.
Mm.
People are complaining already, like, but I talk about it, that, no, we are not just a big, because like me, I'm also a member of what, or another political party, but I say, no, I'm not going to pay until things are, we see that it's moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
Today, somebody is complaining the same issue, that they are going to revive their what, membership, not going to pay it. And I think this is the only way forward, because remember, you can't keep people trying to, I mean, to do even campaigning for you and everything and whatever, go to stand for the election as a political agent. And remember, you don't sleep, you don't do what. At the end of the day, you look at the people who have been appointed. Some of them, we can tell they are capable, they deserve it. But some seriously.
Yeah, but exactly, you fall in the same. Then in that way, you fall in the same that, you know, we become, you know, buddy,
this formula is thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you help me to get there, so let me also help
you. Yeah, stretch my bag, I'll stretch yours.
Yeah, it doesn't come to competence, and that's why we get into this trouble all the time.
What I'm telling my brother, because the way I'm putting up is that because we see people who are competent. That's imagine a person who has been a counselor for many years. Up to now, you never upgrade that person even to be a what? To be a governor.
Mm.
And what do you think, why is the people in the community so trust on him?
In the other ways also, sometimes you look at, we have to look at our system. Our system, it doesn't really... In somehow we don't really get people that let's say, for example, this is a ward system where with the political party actually give us any person, they choose the person, you know. We normally don't choose the person where the community want. We choose the person the political party want.
You understand? You see?
So we may live in a town of Tumeb.
Yeah.
And there is this business guys, he has done a lot of things, but he doesn't belong to, maybe he's not an active political person.
Party,
yeah. But he has brought development in this community. Yeah. So, but we would have never been able to select that person or appoint that person because he's not politically active. And therefore we will always given those candidate of a political party to choose. And
but
this could be possibly someone who doesn't even, he doesn't even understand the word investment.
Yeah, but my question is that why the people who are giving, I mean, getting a chance to select those people, they don't do, they don't check in the credibility of the people and the merit.
You have not,
members who are doing
it's a small group of the party that is entrusted actually to select the persons. And normally what does it done? It done by favors and there's politics in there, even in selecting who should be standing. You understand? So
Michael, like that, we are not going anywhere.
It's the system that we need, and normally, seriously, it's the system that actually keep us trapped where we are.
Because I'm telling you, Mike, if you look even at the fallen embers which they are representing us, you can see only two or three people are capable who can see that yes, they are trying to do something. But most of them, they are just in the business trip. I mean, like holidays.
Yeah.
They don't talk, they don't, but you have a representative, and you see, even like, let me take you to America now. You see what the Americans are saying? Did you see any embassy in America saying something?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, for me, just to respond even to the what American president, what they are saying and so on about African. Nothing. You heard people been missing their flight and our students, they have been stuck somewhere, but there's embassy in that country, but they never come to fall to talk about anything.
Topo pico con de to.
Ay, man, we are not, I'm the sentiment of, then the time is also come, man. I'm the sentiment of the honorable counselor.
Yeah.
Oh, favorite I talk ambo. That's it. You guys know manjajaga. It's not just a manjaja for some political party, but it's true.
Yeah.
Just imagine a person in Bende, he done a perceptual job, but up to now, even just to give him an ambassador poster, is that difficult?
You are not in the clique, that clique group, the clique group, you are not in.
You are not in.
You are not part of the circle.
Come on,
so
man.
That's how it works. That's how it works, you know?
Then we are not going anywhere. Since we started appointing our daughter-in-law and the others and the friends and the woo.
The issue is that we want to eat for longer. Eh? We want to eat for longer. The longer we want to keep to be there, we appoint people that make sure that they dance to our tune, or they also support, you know, our ideas. And
even though the idea is not very good for
work. You protect your interest. You're protecting your interest. You know,
we are in trouble. Yo. The way you are putting it, and I'm looking at what is happening currently. These are just the same thing.
We are in trouble.
Which has been happening for the past 35 years.
Yeah, we are in trouble. Until we really develop the national patriotism, you understand? Where we think Namibia comes first. And we genuinely... You know, when genuinely when people went, we see when people went abroad, in exile to fight, they put the country before even themselves.
Everybody, there was no even like because these things had just come after independence.
Yeah.
It's where we are describing ourselves that I'm a Rambu. You are a Damala, you are a Herero. But there was just Namibian. Even if you go to America or whatever, they will call you African. They don't describe you from Namibia.
Just think of what we don't want to get into that kind of, just to indicate that, you know, a plan competent, you know, you put your life, because you believe in the liberation of your people. So, If we honestly now we have to have a different mentality in terms of like we need to get out of this whole called poverty, you know. If the majority of people believe that, like the way we believe we need to liberate ourselves, it's gonna happen. But for now, people are actually, you know, thinking of their own stomach.
Yeah, that's the thing now.
Yeah. It's about your stomach.
That's the problem. Seriously.
And that's why when you have all these many political parties, why do you think you have all these many political parties?
You're just
trying to get a job.
To get a job. That's the thing. And the thing is that we are even escalating ourselves because of our opposition party. They are afraid to watch our trend.
Yeah.
That is what is happening currently. Except maybe the ruling party a bit, but it's just a bit anyway. Because the majority we know
the ideal of the political parties are right. It's individual who carry those ideals.
That's the thing now.
Exactly. So the ideals are good. It's even the policies and everything. We have all the NDP, the development plans and all those there, and the Swapo Manifesto planning, implementation plan, all those ideals are good. It's the people who carry those ideals.
Ideas. Yeah. You see? But I think for us to move forward, action is better than talking. I think we've been talking so much. Since 19 up to now, we are just talking. But our action to establish and our priority, I mean, to set up that, yes, let us do this. That's the problem I think we have in this country.
Yeah.
Because we can talk after, when we are campaigning, we are talking. When you are lending our manifesto, we are talking. And even when you get to China again, we are still talking. Instead of...
Yeah.
So what
we're trying to do here is to create a thinking mind. And if we can do that, you know, not we just creating people who over every years you're told the same thing and you cannot even question, You know, you want to create, to raise that awareness within the people, you know, and sensitize them to understand the issues and their rights and all that. So to be start questioning and also to hold leader accountable, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. The more we do that in different areas of life, whether it's in schools, in school, whether it's in, you know, whatever civil society, whatever their programs are, in every sphere of life and institutions, that's the only way we can get somewhere, you know.
That is the only way, my friend. That's true what you are doing.
Yeah, and that brings us to the end, you know.
Okay, my brother. Have a good one.
have a great weekend as well, you know.
Okay, sure.
Okay, great. Yeah, basically that's bring us to the end of unpacking the day. And, thanks for those who come through and those who contributed on the programs. And, honestly, and that's why we are here for, as we said, the Eagle FM, it's really to sensitize you and also create, raise that, we provide you, informations and bring you people that have understanding and that are expert in certain areas, just to create that awareness for you to make right choices and also have a right perspective on issues, so that we do something, so that we become accountable for ourselves and also accountable for our countries. It's not only for some, it's for all of us, and we shouldn't let one or two people actually, you know, getting us all fall. So make sure that you are accountable for wherever you are. All right. So that brings us to the end of Unpacking the Day. Until next time, until Monday. So let's do this again next week, at the same time and on the same station. So my name is Mike, and I wish you a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Omudiha wetekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongotisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandithoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje tatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom.